he says to them, the Gentiles do the things contained within the word. They are, I mean, there's the possibility over here in Romans 1 that you can know about the things of God by the things that are made. And he's going to hold us accountable to it. So the grace that's on us who now are shouting God down here in the morning like this is amazing grace. Appreciate it. And I could go into it more, like the fact that you and I had a mom that we could refer to that stayed with us. It's amazing grace. But it's not as good as his original plan without sin. All of us live the redemptive story. God fixed something broken. But he's fixed it so that, again, I said to you that even missing our mom is still kind of the resource, the need side. It's not necessarily the supply side us doing for the mom. Now, no doubt the mom celebrates their children. I mean, they're normal. They're godly. I mean, that's what you believe for. To be married if you're a woman, to have a great husband, and then he becomes a great father, and she's going to be a mother that's awesome. But it looks like she's on the supply side to both the husband and the children. Now, it shouldn't be that way. I mean, in the truest sense, the husband and father should be the supply side person that gives her, you know, all the fuel is needed. Now, usually he thinks that his thing is the money. See, and, you know, Joaquin was talking about how his mother got in between his daddy and him, saved him from getting many whoopings. His mom was like, between brothers, don't beat him, he's going to get it right. And, you know, that was okay, but he probably should have got some of them whoopings. So the father usually is the person that should back the mom, but nowadays, and no, it's just in history. The moms, they're full of compassion and love, and they do, but they still don't play around when it comes to their children being responsible, holding the line. I went back to church last night to listen to Joaquin's pastor, and he was talking about how his wife, he didn't realize he was saying that, practically mothered him. And my wife has kind of done this. So after he was a pastor, and he's there with Joaquin too there now. On Sunday nights now, it's like he's going to do the service. So he was saying that sometimes when he would preach, because after he finished preaching, they would be on their way home in the car, and his wife would say, there are four things you said in your message that was unscriptural. He said, oh, my God. And then he would get an exegesis by his wife, who had to take a mama's position to him. And, you know, he admitted she was right. And then if he persisted in it, she would break off into prayer on him on the way. And he even said, I'd break the power of the devil. He said she was like, cast the devil out of me. Well, moms have been that amazing with children, too. I mean, it's just something that God references in the Bible about the awesomeness of his creation in both women and then on further, motherhood. And sometimes they're on both sides of it. They are the encourager and the encouraged. And the husband is out there making money. He thinks that's the thing. And they can make money. Wow. I'll say this one last thing just about it. You know, these husbands who don't stay in there in the marriage, it's still an amazing thing, though, when you think about it. You know, you I don't know the last time you read Your Wife Is Not Your Mama. I actually taught out of it Monday night to men, but I read the part in there on the preparation of the marriage, on what I would say to my daughter's potential husband at the marital ceremony. It was kind of lengthy, too. I read it, though. And it was, I had a translator. Still read it. Because I'm down there training. I'm down here training, so I'm not mad around about it. And then I also wrote in there what the expectation was. But look, so here, you know, you get this woman, this awesome woman that you decide, wow, I'm going to spend the rest of my life with her. And then something happens in this journey that make you think. I mean, sometimes it's years. I know one situation where it was decades. And now all of a sudden, you know, it wasn't just one thing. It was just a number of things. It could have been one or two large things. What's larger than sin in any case? Now, Jesus has a couple of things that he said, no, not, this is just too far. But you can't even identify if you get to that. For example, you know, blasphemy against the Holy Ghost. I think maybe in my older years I may know what that is a little better. But anyway, so here you go. You're going to get rid of it. And that still is kind of amazing, where you know each other better than ever, been through the world together, been through children and raised them and all that. Now it's kind of this thinking that happens, well, we got the children out of the way. Now, I'm not going to tolerate her, and so he's done with her. She says she's not going to tolerate him. And then the point is made, because it seems like parents want their kids to have a great job and a great education and a great living. Well, what's been in the news here during this last year? Are those people who have not just great jobs, but great money, and how many divorces are occurring with those people? I don't even know. I was looking at the NBA scores the other day in the Google. You can go on Google, touch the bar, and NBA scores will come up. I probably put it there, and that's why it comes up. But they slipped these commercials in, or these news stories in. One of them was, you know, divorce settlements for the rich and the famous. And it may not have that kind of title, but it's similar. Now, here's an example of almost in every case, every one of them was educated. Every one of them. They're on just crazy money, millionaires. I mean, they're billionaires. And some of them weren't that old. They're just done with each other. Of course, the consideration is not what God's going to say, or not even what you said originally. So death us do part in sickness and in health. I mean, leading up to that, I mean, when men mismodeled their standard of and gave himself for it, love your wife, Christ your wife, and gave himself for it. So when you don't do that, give yourself for her, what do you think God's going to say in the great day to you? And you stand up before him. What do you think? Not just endure her, but love giving. And when usually the mamas are spoken of, they don't use, kids don't even speak of how she just hated doing stuff for us. She gave us a feeling that every time she took us to a baseball game or every time she washed her clothes, she's just sorry she didn't have all these children. Almost you never hear anybody talking like that about mothers. I'm not saying that there aren't some kids who feel that way. But usually, you know, those mothers did that stuff with such graciousness and heart. And you go through life and, you know, you find out the secrets about each other. You know each other aren't perfect. But what is this? Like, I'm done with you. What for? You going to start over? I just want to be without you. Well, you're saying that the prayers don't work. They're not changing, and you're doing exactly right yourself. Well, you're on either side, it doesn't matter. I mean, goodness. I'll say one other thing. This is probably one of the most major things I could say about God. And it's the basis of Scripture. The goodness of God leads men to repentance. Like, in the human construct, if you're dirty and you touch something clean, you get the dirty, the clean dirty. But in this construct of God, both in the priesthood, but particularly in Jesus, Jesus the clean, the world, the dirty. The clean comes into the dirty, and the dirty becomes clean. The clean don't come into the dirty or touch the dirty, and the clean becomes dirty. In the economy of God, it doesn't work like that. See? God comes into a dirty heart that's repentant and cleans it up. Well, that's the basis of laying hands on the sick. The clean lay hands on the sick, and the sick recovers. It's not the clean lay hands on the sick, and the sick and the clean gets sick. I mean, the basis of the created order is to bring something back to a state that's unacceptable to God. Bring it back to a state of being, of existence, that God not only lives on, but is. See? If any man be in Christ, he's a new creation. The seed is there. The potential of what it becomes is the process. See? Well, it's not a Mother's Day message. I'm just talking, just saying. For me, all of it is real. Thank you for praying for my wife. It's real, what I've gotten. Yeah, and I don't have one complaint at all about anything that I have to deal with. Mm-mm. There's nothing to complain about, actually. God is great. He's still great. Now, I have an extreme passion now. It seems to be increasing now. I'm about to break out now. I text a pastor. I wanted to do something. And before I got on. And I tell you what I want to have. Now, I called a Pastor Hunt yesterday. I talked with her about some Kingmaker stuff, and I'm sure we're going to follow up with it. I'll say to you on the line, and some of the men will hear, that in some sense we were ahead of our time. Here's why we were ahead of our time. Because we were prophetic during a season that things were going great for America and the world and the church, exploding, mega churches growing everywhere, women ministry flourishing. I mean, I'm talking about the season of, Beth Moore, Joyce Meyer, Juanita Bynum, we know some amazing women that are being used. So my book, Women Are Kingmakers, wasn't done at a time where it seems obvious that women were being disenfranchised. Because we have a lot of women out here who's amazing. We know some like Zia Blander and Bonnie Shabdun. Just numbers of them that are, we know. And those of you in this fellowship. Yeah. So there are a couple of things. So I want things to activate now at another level simply because the season for it is now here. We you women, and intercessory women, I was talking to one of the people who lead intercessory prayer during this past, you know, movement. Been doing, did it with Bill and Bonnette Bright for some time, the National Day of Prayer, and they got all these different names for these prayer times. Somebody sent me a text yesterday that said that this particular president now is the first president that did a proclamation that didn't even have God in the proclamation. And then the one person told me, I'll call him out, I said, even in the resurrection season during the prayer time, didn't even mention Jesus' name at all. And but that's the point I'm making. King makers are needed now more than ever. Because it's a biblical way of life. If you, and one of the issues of this particular season is not what they're giving, but what they're getting. You know, in other words, the culture's thinking about what I'm getting, and they're not getting what they want. So you got preachers who preach what people want rather than what God wants them to preach and what they need. And I made the point, I'm making it again, that revival comes on the wings of tragic times. And as I look at the culture now, I mean, you still have more than half of that political landscape who think that everything is all right and they think they're in control. And I don't think deep down within they believe that. When you leave God out, you don't really believe you're in control. There's a fear down there. But the level of separation between God and those people out there like that who just face God down, how we, the church, people could be shut down about not only gay marriage but gay relationships, because it stands clear in the Bible about it. How somebody can say that abortion is an issue of the political right as a premise, it's a blindness that's just amazing. But it's apparent. And so when you look at the race issues, I mean, the issue of reconciliation, you know, I'm sitting here, I'm looking at a card. I just discovered in this moving, my moving down here, I have this card called Jesus Day 2000. And then it's my card from being chairman of the board of March for Jesus, USA. And we had a JD2K, Jesus Day 2K. You know, 2000. And that was when the headquarters was in Atlanta. And it says, the streets are filled with singing. Around this card I have in my hands. Hands are opened up. It seems to be on the card. No one goes hungry. No child is fatherless. No one. It's around the card in small print. No one suffers alone on the card. We were afraid then. 9/11 was another time. We were afraid because of what happened. And then when things got back to where people were prospering, and they call it normal. It's not normal globally. It's just where it is in America. The church changed its messaging to God knows what you're going through, and no matter how rich, God still wants you to have more. Oh, no. The principle-based. It was need-based. Like when often when people explain their mamas, they don't talk about their mama's principles. Now, Pastor Viral, I probably realized that that was the case. In her background, I've talked to her about her background. In terms of the church proper, I mean, the mothers, likewise, she mothers raise up the younger I mean, it's like when Mother Bourne is talked of, spoken of. I looked her up on the internet, Mother Bourne, the kind of the mentor, mother of Juanita Bynum. She never talked about it as being soft, as being just there washing laundry. She was there straightening her out. From one of the things that I realized about her is that she sat Juanita down for it was like years. She said, "No, you sit your backside down. You ain't going nowhere. You got to be changed." That helped her some. Some people need strong accountability. Some people need others. You know, some children are like this. They think they can tell their mamas what they need. As though mamas have never been children. And you got that kind of like in the church today. The church tells the pastors what they want, and the pastors capitulate. You got to give them what they want. Revival will never come to a church where the pastor gives the people what they want rather than what they need and what God wants. If you can't agitate the insides of a believer so that you locate where they're not in God, because all have sinned and come short of the glory, written to Christians in Rome. You have to keep them in a constant state of repentance. But sometimes the blessings, meaning the finances, you know, having, you know, the great job, great education, great all that. I mean, they really have no needs. Now they got nitpicking, and that becomes their need. Their nitpicks the things. I don't like the color of these walls in this house. I don't like, I'd rather have a house in another neighborhood. My wife didn't like the neighborhood we lived in down in Atlanta. When they met, they wanted to gate up the community. My wife went to the board meeting and said, no, she voted against it. She wanted people to be able to come to the house. But those people were talking numbers. Gate this area up so that it would keep the values of the house up. Well, they never gated it, but of course, down here it seems like almost everything is gated. It's not, but it seems like it. It's a lot. It's not. Because what is that? Are you that afraid? Well, let me just ask you, are you in revival? Yes, sir. So where I was going to go with this, thinking about you here, I was trying to get some dates. I'm coming up that way, up north. So I can't give you the exact dates because I text somebody and they didn't respond. Probably zooming on me this morning. Yeah. I even did a hello on them. But I want to shut in with you. So, now, I was talking to one person the other day, but this is what's happened to the culture. I've been saying, it's a new world order, NWO, new world order. And people are talking about not BC and AD, they're talking about pre and post-COVID, a virus. But what has happened is one virus and the promotion of it and the overspeak and all the stuff that goes with it allowed both the promoters of it to understand what the nature of people actually is, what they'll do and won't do. Now, if you come against us, I'm talking about Americans now, because we still are the influences of the world. That's not even debatable. We are a global icon of the free world. We set the standards. I can tell you that the major news outlets, global news outlets, like I said, you know, last year, before COVID, I'm back and forth to Europe, right? So I see the the major news sources that comes over there, but the primary one that you go into almost any of the hotels, anywhere where their internationals come in, CNN News is what's going to be blasting. You got other news sources like Al Jazeera and BBC, British Broadcasting, you know, Company News and that, but it's still America's influence. If we come alive into things of God, it could have a global effect, but how far we are, I believe we may be getting some of the pressure. There's still not the kind of cry of 9/11 or even Y2K when we thought the computer systems are going to blow up and all these things are going to happen. All these guys prophesied. Give them a chance. I mean, if you're going to follow prophets, give them a chance to be wrong. They're not perfect. None of them. I get words, and I don't think about it a lot, but it's like, have I ever missed it? Sure. Was I trying to miss it? No. Was I praying about some things? Was I loose about it? I try not to be. But the Bible says we look through a mirror darkly. See? Yeah. Well, I got a couple scriptures to give you. One more thing. I want to shut in. So here's the point I was going to make about it. As I was talking to somebody, and this is a number of occasions. They said, well, let's do a Zoom meeting. Hey, look, let's do a Zoom shut-in. Right, we shut in our house, sit on the couch. We'll leave the thing on. We won't show our faces on the Zoom because you can do that now. But we're going to stay connected, so you'll know we're there, but I'm going to be on my couch right now. I look, please, you know, I don't want to be uncomfortable. I mean, come on, do we have to stay up all night? We shut in? Yeah, well, all night prayer. I'm actually not talking about all night prayer. I'm talking about shutting in now. So it's kind of like at least 2 days shut in. Now, I used to have people that would like, if Bishop is going to call a shit, I'm going to be there. I'm going to check that out soon. Now, well, everybody's got to get their schedule together. Well, no, I've always been like this. You're whatever you got planned. And you sure, everybody's got something planned. Not everybody's like me, just there from day to day, practically. Not all, not in everything, but if they got something that they just have to do. Like, I know things that people have to do right now. I can name them, I won't go into it. You know, I mean, it's just like a person spends 4 years in college and they get ready to graduate and they're having a live graduation and you're committed to be there and that's your son now. And boom, and Bishop has a shut-in on the same day we're having that. Well, now there's another issue right there. You're going to really have to see God not to be at that graduation. See? But there are other types of things that people have scheduled that you say, no, I got a chance to be in a shut-in with Bishop. And God is after something. The days are evil. And I know I could use being in the presence of a man of God. And I know he's going to give us the word. I know there's going to be some strong praying there. I know there's some deliverance. Yeah. Now, when you just do things, see, Jesus didn't prepare his disciples for anything he asked them to do. They had to just say, okay. There's something about that. They made him their priority. There's something about some of the things of God. You got to cut out some of the natural stuff and make what the things of God your priority. It's challenging. Now, if you're one of those kinds that, well, no. Okay, well, just be what you are. You know, no problem. Yeah, just do what you want to do. I mean, whatever. That's how God does it. He lets us do what we want to do. But I don't ever want to be in a place where I can't. Paul says, I press for the mark of the prize of the high calling. What do you think he was saying that for? He was saying that so that others could press with him. He was being an example for them. He's saying, this high calling of God is not around convenience. It's not neutral. It takes you out there somewhere. So I could go into it in more detail. Won't do it. But also I'm getting the mindset where I'm going to call together some conferences. Somebody said, well, I don't know if you all like the name consecration camp. The metaphor of that, it was negative. Well, what happened in the past, that wasn't me. I'm not even responsible for it. I'm actually talking about consecration. I can call it a consecration conference rather than a consecration camp. Maybe if I say it's a consecration camp meeting. Okay? Whatever. People got stuff nowadays. They've always had it, though. But I'm getting that mindset now where if you've been restricted because of COVID, and, you know, you say whatever, you just were restricted. But we have to open up to God at another level now. Okay, I won't go into the details of it. Down here, I had checked you again. The governor, I'm in Florida, for those of you, just come on. The governor has said that, okay, now cities cannot require people any longer in our state to have to wear the mask. So one of the things that you're finding is all these sporting events that's opening up, you know, all that water. And numbers of them, it's been noted that there's been no breakout in any of them, and lots of them didn't have masks on. I mean, you look at the golf mask yesterday at the, over there in North Carolina, they allowed 10,000 a day to come in. And there's thousands of people there, and you couldn't hardly see anybody with a mask on. But there's still people here who wear them, that's okay. To me, the culture seems to be, you know, wearing the mask the most. The elite people seem to wear them the least. The poorest people, and even people from the poorest countries, like the Hispanics and the Asians and blacks. I mean, I see those people wearing double masks in the car by themselves driving. I see it. I've traveled. I still see it. They're scared to die. But those people lived around death. I'm like these poor people from developing nations. I mean, Steve Stells over there in Richmond came back after doing some stuff in Africa where his whole face swelled up for over a year. As I couldn't see, I talked to him about it. I don't remember exactly. They never did find out what that germ was. It just went away. When you go to developing nations, man, there's all kinds of stuff you're exposed to. See? Because you're basically dealing with not just sin, dirt, uncleanness. And it tends to death. So, stay alive. God is not tolerating the devil. I was looking before I talked to you. I've been, last week, I don't know when I'll get to finish any of this. But I talked about how God didn't tolerate, you know, the devil's nonsense. And, you know, the evil that he did. After he sent him out, the disciples in Luke 10:18, he said, yes, he told them, I saw Satan fall from heaven like lightning. Look, I'm reading New Living Translation. I've given you authority over all the power of the enemy, and you can walk among snakes and scorpions and crush them. Nothing will injure you. But don't rejoice because evil spirits obey you. Rejoice because your names are registered in heaven. A New Living Translation here. That's some powerful stuff. So I told you that God does not tolerate disagreement very long. And at what point he's going to say, I winked at it, now I'm about to slam you. Well, we're being used. as instruments that slam the devil. So I went into that discussion. The devil kicked out of heaven. The man kicked out of the garden. The shortening of lifespan, the destruction of the earth. Noah being the only one living. Studying the age, the time that God would even tolerate man in the earth, 120 years. Then Psalms 90 something tiny, I think, or 91 says he cuts it down to 70 years. See? And then he says, I'm just telling you, you're headed for the destruction of the whole earth. The heavens and the earth are going to be destroyed. But the people who accept Jesus as their Lord and Savior, they're the ones that's going to live forever. There's going to be a new heaven and a new earth. Now, I said the issue of the future is placement, where you're going to be in that. You're not going to be guilty about anything because you're going to lose your rewards. You're going to go to heaven if you have Jesus as Lord, Savior. But where you're going to be placed, what you let him do in your life now, where you grow to, he knows proportionately exactly where to put you. You're going to be somewhere in the next world. You're not going to have guilt, but you're not going to be in the same place as a dedicated person. He's giving up everything. You give up little. That's a real principle of Scripture. See, in his case, you don't have to be faithful with a lot. We think a lot means that their people are really significant. But here it is. He gave people a lot of money, gave them a lot of education, gave them a lot of position. And look at them. You look out, and almost all of them are blowing it. Now, there's some people who are not blowing it. Look, I believe that, you know, the Green family is doing an amazing job with their money. I'm talking about Hobby Lobby people, you know. And I can name a number of things that these people are saving. I can say that the Chick-fil-A people, the Kathy family, are doing a lot. The Walmart family, they're in the top 20 richest family. All of them have benevolence, but I'm talking about those who overtly declare the name of the Lord. See, not you guessing about it. These people are right out right. And they're taking certain standards that are right there. And I can name others, but not many. Thousands of billionaires now. When you start looking out at it, and I heard him talking just recently about, I think, Michael Jordan probably being the third richest black person in the world. These are billionaire people, you know. I think, you know, Oprah is maybe number one, Bob Johnson, the BET guru, and maybe, you know, I don't know, Tiger Woods, Jordan, around there. Who knows? The point is, where is God in it other than being the owner of gold and silver? See, where are we as Christians? Now, this is my last point I want to make about all of this. See, we raise up disciples. I mean, we got fussed out. I was talked that to Bishop Hunt about, you know, raising up those campus students. He said, well, the point wasn't the campus. The point was leadership. Bishop Hunt coined this phrase, the leaders of tomorrow are the followers of Jesus Christ today. The goal was to make disciples who would take the world in every area. And this document that I'm looking at right now on the Fellowship of International Churches, I found that too. It just popped up here. And I looked at the point of it. It's underdeveloped and never really fully realized. See. Now, I want to go on record as saying, I know I'm not all of that. But I'm still in pursuit, though. I press for the mark, as many as be perfect, be thus minded. This is kind of what you're hearing right now, kind of a father's assessment of things and, you know, with some potential visionary stuff. But it's still going to be the same as far as, you know, creating a non-compromising position. I said to Bishop Hunt last night, I said, who wants to hear a message sinners in the hands of an angry God? See? Right? Why would you come over here, John Wesley, and call us men stealers? Why would you say that to us, dealing with slavery? You're going back to England. Who is this George Whitfield? You're part of that Holy Oxford Club too. What are you doing? Why do you get people so mad at you when you preach? See, because that's what truth does. Most Christians I know, they don't want to hear nothing that appear to be negative. I mean, where God is offended. But it doesn't matter what they want to hear. It's what does God want said. There's so much compromise going on right now. But the words, God says, I'm the Lord your God, I change not. You can't compromise around truth. It's fixed. You better stand on it. I mean, just because your daughter, your son, your cousin, they don't like your Christianity. I had a guy that just sent me a text. And he said, well, you know, I'm going to get back on my bicycle if Allah allows. I said, I'm getting back on your bicycle, but what's this Allah stuff? I mean, I jumped right back at it, you know. Oh, Allah. Well, I understand it. And that took the risk of him being offended. He didn't comment back on a text back to me. He didn't comment, but he knows. I'm not neutral about that. He's not going to ease in Allah to me. And there were a number of other situations and things that I'm going to go ahead and I'm not going to be quiet about what I know is a fixed value. And I'm not going to be afraid of getting animal parts. And I never have, really. But I can be still even way more serious than what I am, I think. I don't know how that's going to look, but I can be more serious. And what I mean is, I'm talking about consecrated, dedicated more, you know. Yeah. But George Whitfield, I mean, I look back at it. I've gotten a lot of my journeys. I'm looking at my bookshelf right now. I'm in my office here. The apartment. And I don't know, they were together. But Whitfield, they would throw body parts at him while he was preaching because they didn't like what he was saying. That was way back a few hundred years ago. See? Maybe a couple hundred years ago. Not quite, but yeah. Well, you got any thrown at you recently? See, you and I can't be in agreement with the world. I want to be friends with everybody and be in agreement with God and friends with God. He said, either for me or against me. And that's talking about truth now. He's not talking about whether you say I'm saved. He's talking about what you're standing upon. And you stand in the day of darkness. Well, I'm going to be shouting, calling you out to come on, let's get together and pray some more, even though on this line, you know, it's a trail line, but I preach all the time with it. When I get with you, it's going to be that way pretty much. I'm going to pray with you, you know, pray until you pray everything you can pray. And then I'm going to teach you everything. I can't teach you everything because that would be quite a long time. But you're going to get it. At least you're up to date with what God's revealing to me. There's a lot. Father, thank you so much for there being a lot. So much you're unveiling. And prophecies, you and prophets exist, but truth is still the prevailing reality. Not a prophetic word of a circumstance, but what you said of the principle. These are abiding. They go to the next world. I'm praying that you open our eyes to see what the abiding realities are that we take with us because it is us into the new heavens and the new earth. I'm asking that not a person under the sound of my voice would fall short of the glory, that you unveil the realities. I even pray that our testimonies are on the pro side, the side of what we are doing for others. Not so much, Lord, what has been done for us. That you get us on that side where we know we are your channels of great resources. To God be the glory. Thank you for every person now. We break the power of the devil that's trying to hinder their amazing outcome. And I thank you for their usefulness and their power that they're demonstrating to show that you are alive. Continue, Lord, to increase us. The age seems to be we can't run as fast as we used to. We may not can think as clear as we used to, but in your kingdom, there's no ceiling. If any of us think there's a ceiling to our development, Lord, I'm asking you, remove it. Show them you can give them the stuff they never dreamed to see before. Show them you can do things in their lives they never thought would ever happen. Let them see again, your book is a book of that. That there are things that in the natural shouldn't have happened. But to you was sweatless. There's no problem. All you're asking for is that faith would stay alive. And purity would be the order of the day. To God be the glory. God bless you. Listen, we'll be sending out stuff to you and talking soon. So I'm getting the inspiration here pretty soon. I'm going to come back on YouTube and Facebook and all that. So, okay. Here we go. God bless. Be encouraged, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. Is our prayer for you. Bye-bye.
All right, my bishop.